Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. Sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
We'll start by recapping last week. So we talked after the game how the final score was a little bit more lopsided than probably the box score says. So just what was the message to the team after a 22-point loss that probably wasn't that as lopsided as that was?
That we have to continue to improve. Our goal throughout the offseason was not to be the best we could be by week three. That this is a journey, and we continue to get better every single week. We played an incredibly talented Class 6 school, had over 400 yards of offense. We're getting better. We're on our way. We're getting better.
So turning the page to this week, you guys get Smith Cotton. You were talking to me about how they're a really well-coached team. So just what challenges do you think that they're going to present to you guys this Friday?
The kids play hard, and they might, quite frankly, have maybe the best player in the whole conference. 35 is an incredibly talented young man, so we're going to have our hands full. And the other challenges this week are, with it being homecoming, there are as many distractions as could possibly be built into the week. So it's our job to try to manage the behaviors to keep the attention where it should be.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. So homecoming this weekend, obviously. So just how do you make sure the players stay focused with all the distractions around the weekend?
Fortunately, since this isn't my first rodeo, that we have a little bit of experience with that. And I just think we try to strike a balance between our kids. They're still kids. They still want to have a high school experience, and homecoming, especially at this place, is pretty special. And we're mindful of that, you know. But at the same time, at 7 o'clock on Friday night, there's only one thing that's going to matter to them, hopefully. So we need to be prepared for 7 to 9:30 on Friday night.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. Trevor, things started out okay last week, but the end result was a 48-27 loss to Rockbridge. So what do we take away from that one, but mostly?
I mean, it's some of the same issues stand. The penalties were fixed. That's a huge positive for them. But tackling in space has still just not been a strong suit, to put it lightly, so far for this team. They gave up a lot of big plays in the second half. The opening touchdown they gave up was a 48-yard touchdown run where they had four or five different defenders surrounding the ball, and then all of a sudden he is running free down the sideline.
That's a problem.
Big kickoff return to start the second half for Rockbridge, followed by a 38-yard touchdown pass on the next play, and then 33-yard touchdown run, 47-yard completion on 4th-and-1, and then after a kick return fumble from the Jays, they gave up a 27-yard touchdown pass on the next play. So it all unraveled very quickly, and that's kind of what happened in the Hannibal game the week before. So it's really just a learning process and learning how to stop the bleeding a lot faster before you look up at the scoreboard and you're all of a sudden down 20-plus points. So,
well, I was going to say, that's the thing that jumps out at you, you know, initially. After, you know, a week one where you only give up 19, all of a sudden you've given up 53 and 48 in successive weeks. And I don't care who you're playing or how talented those teams are. Anytime you're giving up that many, that's going to be a problem. You're going to have a hard time outscoring anybody in games like that. That's just the simple ins and outs of it.
And yeah, from being on the sideline for these games, you just kind of feel the air coming out of the team as things start to unravel.
Sure.
And it seems like it's a little bit too late when people start realizing, like, hey, we need to get the energy levels back up. Like, come on. And it's just the bleeding has to be stopped faster before these games get out of hand. So That was rough to see for them last week, but I mean, it was once again a good start. They were facing a very big Rockbridge team. That was my biggest impression when I walked into that stadium, was, wow, this team is huge. But they were just as physical, if not more physical, for the entire first half with that team. So, I mean, that's a major positive for an undersized Jays team.
So I guess if we're looking positives, I mean, you know, you're not happy about being 1-2 at this point. I guess the good thing is you've got another 1-2 team this week. You're hosting Smith Cotton 7 o'clock tonight for homecoming. So that's a couple things right there automatically off the bat where you go, okay, if you're thinking about how do we get this team kind of re-energized, refocused, keep them to the point where that week gets put behind us as quick as possible. Well, the biggest thing is going to be no one ever wants to come out and lay an egg on homecoming. So I guess first off, how's that gone for them this week, both in terms of the distractions that it brings, but also the good things that it brings?
So yeah, like we mentioned, or like we heard in the podcast clip to start, there has to be a balance. You want these kids to have the high school life. Like, they only have 4 years of this, but you also want to make sure they're ready to play football
sure.
when it comes 7
sure.
o'clock tonight. So
right.
You have to let the kids have some fun, but you also have to just have that added factor of making sure everybody's on their stuff the whole week and you're not taking a Smith Cotton team lightly, because this has to be a get-right week.
Right.
This is a team you should beat. This is kind of a chance to send a message like, hey, we are what we thought we were after week one. These last 2 weeks don't define the team, so there is distractions, but it seems like that's been the focal point of pushing it down to the kids. Like, we need to stay focused. We need to make sure we get right this week.
Yeah. It's a Smith Cotton team that started out the year with a squeaker, 22-21 over Moberly, then lost big to Rockbridge, 49-0, and then lost at Warrensburg last week, 23-14. So you look at them and go, okay, you got a close win, you got a close loss, and you got a big loss. What is this team, and how do they compare? Maybe, you know, for the last couple of years, it's been a struggle for Smith Cotton. So is this another year where the Tigers are going to struggle, or what do we make of this team after just 3 games at this point?
So from what Coach Wells and me have talked about, like, it's not a first-year head coach, but it's his first year there. He came over from Kearney. He had some success there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the numbers in their program have gone up. Quite a bit.
Okay.
So he's pretty impressed with what he's done in the first year, and he thinks the culture's changing there. He thinks they're a very well-coached team. But they're still not top of the conference talent-wise. I mean, they're still down there towards the bottom when it comes to talent. But, I mean, this isn't possibly the Smith Cotton teams we've seen in the past. So there's going to be a little bit more of a challenge from Smith Cotton, but it's still a game you need to take care of.
Sure. So I guess if there's anything that we know about Smith Cotton after 3 weeks or if we need to be concerned about, what maybe worries the Jays about the Tigers coming into this one?
So they're going to run the football a lot.
Okay.
And they're going to be trying to get their guys in space in a lot different way than what Rockbridge was doing last week. But you're going to see quarterback Lane Simmons and running back Mylon Hawkins get the ball a lot. And so another focal point, just like it has been the last couple weeks, tackling in space. So if they get past the defensive line, get to maybe the second or third level of the defense, they need to be able to bring them down consistently.
Okay.
And limiting the big plays, obviously, is a huge focus.
Okay. On the flip side, then, if the Jays are going to have success offensively and be able to put up some points against the Tigers, who do they maybe need to avoid, or what do they need to combat on that side of the ball?
So first and foremost, Wells was talking to me about defensive lineman Quan Watkins. He thinks he's a really special talent, but Smith Cotton's going to run a lot of man-to-man press defense.
Okay.
And something we saw from the Jays last week is that they wanted to take shots down the field.
Okay.
They had 12 or 13 pass attempts, only completed 3 of them, but a big reason why it was like that was because of drops.
Okay.
They schemed open guys down the field. Jacob Wilson was putting balls on the money. The receivers just weren't able to come down with it for some reason, and that shouldn't be an issue going forward. They are very high on the receiver talent that they have. Ryan Tadson's looked really good so far this season, so I think they're going to do a lot of the same this week. I think they will be trying to take shots down the field early and often.
So I guess the obvious follow-up question then is, are those drops a byproduct of maybe they don't do it so much, so they're not so used to it, so it's still kind of a surprise sometimes when they get the ball thrown to them? Is it just that was a one-game blip? Or is it just sometimes you've got receivers who are just, you know, it's going to be a 50-50 proposition sometimes when you throw them the ball?
I think it's kind of an all of the above right there. I mean, it's a younger receiving core, a team that barely threw the ball at all last year. So it's an early season thing. It's a lot of these receivers' first time, you know, having a wide open pass to them down
sure.
the field in front of a crowd. So, I mean, the hardest ones to catch are where you're sitting there on an island.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think it's an issue that's going to continue going forward. Like I said, they are very talented, and they're doing the hard part, and that's getting open.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm interested to see. They already have a big touchdown through the air against Hannibal in week two. So, I think it'll be something that they want to show to the homecoming crowd.
Sure.
And, you know, kind of put on a show. So we'll have to see.
All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. Is it a happy or a sad homecoming for the Jays this week?
I think it should be a happy homecoming game for the Jays tonight. I actually wrote down my score ahead of time, so I won't have to think about it as hard. So I put Jefferson City 48, Smith Cotton 21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.